Good morning to everybody out there this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church this morning. I want to welcome you back to the radio broadcast this morning. I'm going to be beginning a 3 or 4 part series on holiness because I believe that that's one of the things that is impacting our churches much more strongly than anything that's going on out there now. We have a lot of church members who just simply will not live holy. And I want to preach a series on that that will tell you what the Bible has to say about holiness and the need for holiness. Let me say this too about holiness. If you do not have practice personal holiness, it's going to hinder your witness to your friends and your loved ones. And it'll be a bad testimony also because people will use... If you're not living holy, they're going to use that as an excuse to either not to come to Christ or to call you a hypocrite. And believe me, if you're not living what you preach, then you are a hypocrite. And that is a bad testimony to the rest of the world. And it also shows that you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ like you ought to. With all that said, I want to open us up with a word of prayer. And y'all pray with me this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to praise and bless your holy name this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you saved me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the good church that you've put me into. I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, Lord. And Lord, I just want to thank you most of all for just being God, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you for going to the cross and shedding your blood for us. I pray now, Lord, that you'll bless this broadcast, Lord, and bless this series that we're about to teach, Lord. Just want to tell you, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we uplift and exalt your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Started it out, I talked about the need here for Christians to live holy lives. I want to read you a verse to start with out of Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." We're trying to build churches today on everything but the Word of God. We're trying to build churches today on man's methods. We're trying to build churches today on the power of the flesh. The problem with that is you do not have a true church of God unless you're building it on the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And you'll not have that power of the Holy Ghost of God if you are not living holy. If there's ever been a need for people to live holy, it's in our day and time. People looking at the church, and we see things going on in the church that are going on outside of the church also. That ought not to be. And if you're living a wicked lifestyle and somebody outside the church is looking at you, they have every reason to reject that which you say you hold to because you're guilty of being a hypocrite. You're guilty of hypocrisy. You're guilty of saying you believe something and living something else. Your words do not live up with what you practice in your lives. God expects us to be holy. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if you're not living holy, you're hindering your church, you're hindering your family, and more important than that, you're hindering the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're bringing dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that there is a sin unto death for the Christian. And by that I mean there's a sin that you can sin that the Lord will take you out of this world for. I see a lot of things going on with folks in today's church that claim they're Christians and they sin some of the most heinous crimes and yet they're allowed to stay around. That kind of tells me something about those folks. I believe that they're probably not saved because if they were saved, God would take them on out of here because they're definitely bringing dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to His church. In fact, what it does is it causes people to mock and scoff the church of the living God. And we ought to be very careful in our personal lives and be very careful in our public lives, how we walk in front of lost folks, and remember that if we claim to be Christians, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with all that said, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And start in verse 14, dealing with holiness, remember. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Look at the call there in that last verse that I read was in chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know that there's sins that you can commit that are committed in, or sins against the flesh, and there are sins that you can commit that are sins against the spirit. There are things that happen in your thought processes that are sin against God, even though you do not maybe put that sin out into open where you put it into practice, but you may curse God because you've gone through some difficult time and nobody else hear that. That is a sin against the spirit. You've sinned against God there, not against your fellow man, but directly against God. When you distrust God, when you blaspheme God, and when you question the workings of God in your life, then you're guilty of sinning against God. That is a spiritual type sin. Now, the Bible also says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The emphasis once again here is on holiness. And what is holiness? What holiness is being separated from the things of God, from the things of the world, being separated from the things of the world and being separated unto God. You turn from the things of this world and you turn to God and you try to start living in a manner that is pleasing unto God, not something to satisfy your flesh or not something where you're dabbling in the world. We are to live holy lives. We're to be separated. That's another term for what holiness means, is separation. We are to be separated from the things of the world and separated under the things of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 say this, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. I kind of gave you a partial quote of that earlier on. God expects us to be holy. And by the way, the battle for holiness takes place in your mind. And I want to remind you that if you've been saved, you have the mind of Christ. You have his mind. You have the power to resist. The Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Many times we just don't resist him like we ought to do. And I'm preaching to myself right here, because there's been times when I've been convicted of things before, and had I chosen the path that God had wanted me to choose, I would not have sinned against God. And we got to be very careful when we do those things, because that's a deliberate sin, and that can get us into a lot of trouble with God. It will cause God to break fellowship with us. We will not lose our salvation, but we'll definitely use our fellowship. In the scripture we just got through reading in 1 Peter, there in verse 15 talks about, says, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Your manner of conversation not only deals with the way you talk, but it deals with your manner of living. When people see us, they ought to see Christ in us, in our actions and in everything that we do. But we got so many hypocrites out there that are members of churches that think that they continue to live like the world, and you just can't do that because you'll not have the power of God upon you, and you'll bring condemnation on yourself also if you continue in it. And the other thing that's even more worse than that is you bring shame upon the very individual that died for your sins, that went to Calvary, and you claim the name of Christ, but you live like the devil. God is not happy with that. He's not happy with our churches that are full of people that continue to live like the world. God is not happy with our churches that are full of unbelievers. And by the way, that's the first place that holiness needs to take a place. The first place you need to be set apart at is at the cross and salvation, or you'll not grab onto any of what I'm talking about here this morning. Now, what I'm going to be dealing with in this series, I'm going to deal and talk about sanctification, holiness, and separation. I'm talking about all of those issues. Holiness, sanctification, and separation are all about keeping biblical standards. And I'm not talking about legalism here. Many times when we preach on this subject of holiness, we get accused of being legalist. It is not legalism to require that somebody dress like they ought to do. It is not legalism to require that a Christian not partake of alcohol or drugs. It is not legalism to require that men dress like they ought to dress. It's not legalism to require that men have clean mouths when they're around other people that are unsaved. Our conversation is to reflect the fact that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a filthy mouth, then who is the God that you serve? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ that you serve? We're to be clean is what we're to be. We're to keep biblical standards. God has set standards of conduct and appearance in the Bible. That's not me that's preaching or teaching that. That's the Bible that sets those standards apart. Christians are to be separated from worldliness, false teaching, and non-repentant, disobedient Christians. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in this series. There are at least four reasons why separation is required for the Christian. The first is separation maintains the purity of the local church. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 24 through 27 talks about a pure bride. We're to be a pure bride. We're to be clean. We're to be a holy church. We're to be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ as spotless. And we're to make every effort that we can to live holy. The second reason for separation is good is for the spiritual well-being of non-repentant brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're not living right before them and you are an example within the church, in other words, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're the song leader, maybe you're the pastor of the church, or maybe you're the pastor's wife or a deacon or a deacon's wife, and you're not living right, how can you expect non-repentant brothers and sisters to live like they ought to live? The simple matter of the fact is they're not going to. If you are in a position where you have been a Christian for many, many years and you'll not live holy, think of the example that you're setting. We're to live lives that present the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we're to live. Now, third reason is separation is also required for those who desire a full reward. And that's in 2 John verse 8. If you live like the world and live like the devil, you're going to lose your reward when you go before the judgment seat of Christ. You won't lose your salvation, but you will lose your reward. And then fourth, separation is also essential to protect against apostasy. I just got through preaching a four-part series on apostasy, The big deal with apostasy is holiness as far as doctrine goes. Separation as far as doctrine goes. That's what the deal with apostasy is. If you hold to false doctrine, then you're guilty of being unholy before God because you have a lack of respect for the Word of God. And let me add this little word here. The King James Bible is the Word of God for English-speaking peoples. That's all we need for all faith and practice, and that's what we hold to here at Hilltop Baptist Church. Now, as I said earlier, many times when we teach or preach on separation and holiness, we're accused of practicing legalism or being legalistic. Let me tell you what legalism is. Legalism is adding works to the gospel of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what it's saying is you've got to do this, 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 and this to get saved. And that's just not true. Legalism, by the way, is not a definition you would apply to holy living. Legalism is not asking women to wear modest feminine apparel. Legalism is not asking men to maintain a neat masculine appearance. Legalism is not preaching and teaching against the wickedness of Hollywood movies, television, and most of the internet. None of those things are legalism. Legalism is not asking that Christians listen to godly music that uplifts and honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this. Any music that you listen to, you're putting before the Lord Jesus Christ, who indwells you through the Holy Ghost of God. And anything you watch on television, anything you look at on the internet, you're putting that before the Holy Ghost of God. And when you do that, you're going to grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus want to listen to what you're listening to? Does Jesus want to watch what you're watching? Does Jesus want to listen to your filthy mouth? Does Jesus want to listen to your poor witness before the unsaved world? I would say no, that he doesn't. But if you're a Christian, you say that you're a Christian and you're guilty of open sin in your lives that outside people are seeing, in other words, the unsaved, do you know that you're putting all that before the Lord Jesus Christ? And what a shame that is. That's terrible. Now, the words that relate to personal holiness, the holiness of God, and holy places occupy a prominent place in Scripture. Our Bibles are loaded up with the need to be holy. It's everywhere. If you don't believe it, read it. The problem is that most people don't read it. But the other side of the problem is you've got to read it and heed it. Your works have got to show forth that which you read. Words that relate to the idea of holiness in the Scripture, they occur a minimum of 1,076 times. Isn't that amazing? And that in 996 verses. Do you think that God wants us to get the message that we're to live holy lives? I do. I know that He wants us to live holy. You want the power of God on your life? Live holy. Live holy. Hence, God places a great deal of importance on holiness because He is holy, as is holiness in the Bible. It's emphasized very strong in the Bible. It is truly a strange thing that we do not stress the importance of holiness in our personal lives and in our modern day churches in our teaching and preaching. That never ceases to amaze me. That is why most of our modern day churches are dead as doornails. It's because they're wicked. They are without God is the reason it is. There's things that go on in the church today that are a shame. And most of the churches have had Ichabod put over their doors anyhow because they think that the people that live within, that are in the bounds of that church can live any way they want to and still see people get saved and still see holiness in that church. That's just not going to happen. Holiness is an outward indication or a manifestation of the indwelling and infilling of the Holy Ghost. You get indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God permanently at the moment of salvation, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God each day. You need to get up and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost that you might be able to live more for Him in front of people, that you might be a better testimony. Without the presence of the Holy Ghost, there can be no heartfelt worshiping and praising of God. You just can't have it. Without holiness, there is no presence of the sweet Spirit of God. You ever walked into a church and wondered why it was so graveyard dead like most of the churches are today? And I'm talking about churches that suit their services up with contemporary Christian music, with rock and roll music and every other form of perverted music in the church. They get worked up physically, but the Spirit of God is not within 10,000 miles of a church like that. A lack of holiness hinders our worship. Truly, true worship does not uplift your flesh. It does not uplift your church building. It uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're living an unholy life, you cannot uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Listen at that term there, the beauty of the holiness. What that says there is you're not going to be able to worship God unless you worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is a beautiful thing before God. Holiness is an attribute that God honors in the church with His presence. And if you're wondering why God doesn't show up around your church, maybe you're not preaching strong enough on sin. Maybe you're living unholy in your life. Maybe you've got some sin in your life that you need to get rid of. And maybe you're tolerating the sin of others in your family that you're not doing anything about. That's where the problem is. If we're going to worship Him, we've got to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Again in Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. And I say to that, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. That emphasis is once again there. We cannot worship without holiness in our lives. Our churches are so full of wicked people in them today that there's no way that they can be worshiping the God of the Bible. What they're doing is they're worshiping the God of this world. And it dishonors the Lord Jesus Christ is what it does. Psalm 96 verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. If you are holy, you're going to fear the Lord. There is no fear today of God in our society. America has rejected God, and we accept every form of perverseness as worship before God. And God sits up and He looks at it, and I don't know how He continues to tolerate us, how He continues, why He does not sit down in hard judgment upon us, why He does not strike us down. Because the things that are going on in the church are more wicked than what goes on outside of it. And let me put in a plug here. A lot of things that go on in the church are things that are more wicked than anything I can think of. Like the child molestations that go on in churches. One of these days I'm going to deal with that topic. Child molestation, pedophilia, pornography, you name it. There's filth going on everywhere in the church. And by the way, anytime you molest a child, you ought to be put to death. You ought to be put to death for that. And most people say, well, that's not right. Well, the problem with pedophiles is that once they get started in that behavior, they never reform. And the penalty for that sort of thing in the Bible is death. Now, I don't know why I got off on that, but you cannot give glory due unto the name of the Lord or worship the Lord if you do not do it in the beauty of holiness. That's where we're at. You must be holy if you're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're to worship the Lord, we must worship Him in truth and in spirit. And if you're unholy, you're not going to be able to worship Him in spirit, because you're going to grieve the Holy Ghost of God is what's going to happen. You may be able to hold to the truths of the Bible. We have independent Baptist churches that will preach without compromise the Word of God from the King James Bible, and yet their churches are wicked. They're full of unsaved people. They're full of people that can do anything they want to bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church will not discipline them. And that's not trying to worship God in the Spirit. He has no part of that. You can be doctrinally error straight, and if you're not up next to God in fellowship with God, in the Spirit of God, then you're not going to be able to worship Him. Worship is abiding in, joying in, and rejoicing in God because He's worthy of our undivided attention and praise. That's what worship is all about. And by the way, you look in the New Testament, there is no set mode of worship. There is no way, a standard formula that's given there. And there's a reason for that. Worship is a very, very personal thing. And you'll not be able to worship God unless you're saved. You'll not be able to worship God unless you're living a holy life. Without the presence of the Spirit of God, we cannot worship God. It is the sweet Spirit of God that gives us the joy of our salvation. It's really His salvation, because that's where we're held at. We're held in His hands. And by the way, many times we're in His arms too. Holiness is all about obedience to the Word of God. That's where it's at. The standard is in the Word of God. My standard is not the guy that sits across the pew from me. My standard is not my pastor. My standard is not some great religious leader. My standard is, first of all, the Word of God, and then the leadership of God, the Holy Ghost, as it is applied from the Word of God. Now, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, this, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God expects obedience. He expects us to be obedient. For the Spirit-filled Christian, it is not grievous, but rather a joy to live a holy life. I can tell you this, it is a whole lot better to live and be up close to God and be in fellowship with God than it is to be miserable and in sin the way most Christians are today. I'm convinced that there's Christians out there today that are saved. I believe that they're saved, but they're not living the way they ought to, and they're the most miserable people that you can ever find because they know they're not living right. And the reason they're not living right is they're not being obedient to the Bible, to the commandments in the Bible, to the Word of God. Being obedient to the Word of God is a joy. It really is. Because in being obedient to God, God occupies that. That's what He does. He occupies that in His people, and you'll see more of Him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." It is a joy to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that I'm a Christian. I thank God that I can tell other people that I'm a Christian and that I know that I mean it. I thank God for His presence in my life. I thank God for His presence in this church. I thank God for every godly man and woman that I see walking out there that I know is trying to do the right thing, and I can see the power of God on their lives. I thank God for that. I praise Him. I bless His holy name because there's power in that. Now, once again, if we love God, it will not be a burden. It won't be grievous to keep His commandments, but rather a joy. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you." Listen at this now. Listen. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Are you miserable today, or are you full of joy? Are you Holy Spirit filled? Are you Holy Spirit led? If you are, then you're more than likely, you're in a situation in your life where you're up close to God, you're trying to keep His commandments to the best that you can do. And when you fail, go to God and ask Him to forgive you. He'll forgive you if you're making a genuine effort. He knows that we're weak. Go to Him and ask Him for that infilling of the Holy Ghost of God. Go to Him and ask Him to protect you from yourself. That's the very best thing that you can do. Many times we have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, but we do not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that permanent presence of the Spirit that comes immediately upon salvation. There is only one indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are many infillings of the Spirit. The infillings of the Spirit are to give us the power to live a victorious Christian life. God empowers us through the Spirit to exercise our gifts in a manner that brings honor and glory to Him, in a manner that achieves His purpose for our lives. It's not about us, it's not about you, it's not about me. And I'm going to conclude here today on this particular series, but I want you to remember that we need to live holy. And I want to once again invite you to come to Hilltop Baptist Church and visit with us. We would love to have you. And I once again want to thank you for joining us today on the radio broadcast. God bless you.